Many moons ago, in a distant land, in a distant place, I worked with a guy, we'll call him Rob, who turned out to be an interesting mirror of humanity, as it were. Now, at the time, I was very stressed out. I was working crazy hours, and my insomnia was really, really bad, arguably maybe even the worst it had ever been, depending on how you count it. And on top of that, I was dealing with the aftermath of a very interesting, difficult breakup, if you will. So I was not doing well. But Rob, you see, decided to befriend me. And we'd hang out, take walks, go to the gym together, sometimes visit various places on the rare occasions when we had some time off. But one day, he came to me, and he said, "Piggy and Ape, I can't be friends with you anymore. You're just too depressed all the time. I'm willing to answer your questions, and then we'll just leave it at that." Kind of paraphrasing what went down and happened. We were at the gym at the time, by the way. It's kind of funny. I was in the middle of some sets. I saw him there. Thought he had been avoiding me. I said, "What's up, man? What's going on?" He told me that. I asked some questions, and basically the gist of it was, "You're too depressed for me. You're just too down. You're a downer. Don't want anything to do with you." And that was it. Would still see him, obviously, because the work contract had not run out at the time. But yeah, that was pretty much it. Years and years later, he had the audacity to send me an email fishing for my existence. I ignored it, by the way. But I mentioned this story so as to illustrate something. And today we're going to be looking at the roots of so-called toxic positivity. Now, toxic positivity is a bit of a buzzword, and I hate how mainstreamified it's become, to be perfectly honest. But it is actually a thing. And the root of toxic positivity, if you wish to call it such, is fear. Why do people assiduously, strenuously try to avoid people who are depressed and sad and whatever? Well, obviously, because it doesn't feel good. It's a vibes thing. I get this all the time. You know, a couple of weeks ago, some people I hang out with online who are noticeably younger than I am, one of the comments by some guy who didn't like me, at least traditionally, was along the lines of, "Oh, he's not all just gloom and doom. He can talk about things he likes too," this sort of thing, right? So people really want to feel, quote unquote, good vibes around people. And I get that. But the root of that in itself is people are afraid. People are very much afraid of being infected, as it were, by your sadness, by your depression, by your state of being down, your downness. And for some people, that's actually a legitimate fear. Some people are fairly labile concerning this matter. Some people are very absorptive. So if you're in a bad mood, or you're feeling down or depressed or sad, they can pick up on that and they will feel it too. It will bring them down, it will drag them down. Other people, by dint of their psychology, i.e. their genetics, are just resistant to that. They don't feel depressed because you're depressed. They're just very stable. They're just kind of sort of solid as a rock, right? I have a good friend who's like that, which is why my issues never seem to affect him, I guess. His wife, on the other hand, I'm using this as an illustration, I don't know what she thinks about me. I don't think she dislikes me per se, but she is very wary of me, because I'm not exactly happy-go-lucky Mr. Sunshine all the time. And this is a very common framework for people. People just want to be around good vibes, put it that way, right? Now, the problem here fundamentally is that good vibes don't vibe, no pun intended, with the underlying reality of life. Life, in all its iterations, has ups and downs, sometimes a lot of downs. And eventually you're going to be hit with a mud pie. Eventually, you're going to be hit by something that's unpleasant, and it's going to drag you down, at least for a while. Now, some people will be understanding about this if it's an occasional thing, right? They'll say, "Oh, this is a rough patch for you. It's fine, blah, blah, blah." They'll have understanding. Other people will want nothing to do with you. This is probably the designation of the fair weather friend, if ever there were a designation for it. But on the other hand, the eternal expectation of positivity persists. You were meant to recover so you can once again consistently and persistently smile at people ad nauseum and pretend, in many cases, that you're feeling a way that you actually don't. Now, despite my pronounced belief in the power of genetics, and I do think genetics are basically the be-all, end-all in many respects, not in every respect, In this particular respect, I do think the notion of toxic positivity and people's sort of vibe expectation is one that is largely predicated on the environment. Let me go into some details here. Many years ago, I visited Ukraine. Now, mind you, this is way, way before the war, so nothing like that was happening. And let me tell you something about the Ukrainians as I observed them. I was only there for about a week, but nonetheless, I saw some very interesting differences compared to, say, Western Europe. And the primary difference was almost nobody was smiling. Everyone looked grim, depressed. Traditionally in the West, that's how you describe it. They all looked down. And even the service there, you go to a restaurant or a pub or whatever, and people were just kind of, like I said, grim, very matter of fact, not exactly happy-go-lucky, nothing of the sort. You drive the tube or the subway and people would give you the same looks. Nobody was really jumping for joy or happy or anything like that. And I found it pretty refreshing, all things considered. And then I went back to where I live in Western Europe, and people were somewhat happier, somewhat more go-lucky, but not to, say, the degree you might expect in a place such as the United States. And therein lies the rub. I do think this expectation of universal toxic positivity, this idea that you're always supposed to be in a good mood, and if you're not in a good mood, if you're not just feeling the good vibes, you need to take corrective measures. You need to do something about it immediately, whether it's taking antidepressants, seeing a therapist, you name it, doesn't really matter. A lot of this stuff is a cultural environmental complex that, I hate to say it, emerges from the land of freedom fries. Because again, you look at a place like Ukraine, which is kind of a dump hole even back then, and they had just gotten off decades of communism, being part of the Soviet Union, and you can also see other places, Hungary, which I've been to a number of times, is not quite as pronounced or as bad as Ukraine, but the people nonetheless are not as happy-go-lucky as they are in, say, Germany or the Netherlands or Belgium or what have you. So what you're seeing is different degrees of behavior, of presentation, and above all, of expectation. And these expectations are shaped very powerfully by the environment and the history of the respective place that you exist in and grow up in and live in. In the case of the U.S., it's just very clear. The U.S. is commercialization central. The expectation is that you're always supposed to be in a good mood, not because people really are concerned about you or you're supposed to feel good, but rather because you're supposed to sell stuff. Customer service, right? The customer is always right. It doesn't matter if you are dying of cancer. It doesn't matter if both your parents drop dead that same day. If your brother is fighting for his life in the hospital because of an automobile accident, it doesn't matter. You put on a brave face, you put on a smiley face, and you entertain the customers, and you pretend that everything is okay. And this customer commercial industrial complex is probably the ultimate root of why, at the same time, Americans are just obsessed with therapy and getting on antidepressants and fixing, quote-unquote, their unhappiness problems. Now, depending on your perspective and where you come from, a lot of these things that people feel in the U.S. and these issues that they face are basically nothing burgers. Or at the very least, they're not considered to be anything too serious such that you need to change your feelings about the world or how you perceive things, how you interact with the world. It's very much a top-down expectation that has infiltrated the very foundations of American culture. And unfortunately, when the United States gets sick and sneezes, Europe catches a cold. And what you can actually see is, interestingly enough, a kind of continuum, if you will, of just be positive, bro, expectations moving from the West, i.e. the United States, and probably to a lesser degree Canada, into Europe, and by degrees becoming less and less pronounced the more east you go. And so, like I said, in Germany and Belgium, the Netherlands, this expectation is there, but it's not as pronounced as it is, say, in the United States. In Spain, it's somewhat more pronounced. In Ukraine, it's barely pronounced. In Hungary, it's sort of in between a place like Germany and Ukraine. In Poland, it's also kind of in between, and so on and so forth. So you do see here the work of culture, of global political economic hegemony, and all these factors coming into place that create the circumstances that demand of you as an individual in the West that you be quote-unquote positive. And like I said, thankfully, this is for the most part a very American thing. It still exists, mind you, and I think it would exist to some degree without it. Most people want to be around other people who are vibing well and giving off positive vibes and making them feel good about things, right? If only to distract them from the misery of their lives. However, you would never find this weird, plastered-on smile, for the most part at least, on a service person, say at a restaurant or a cafe, really in anywhere in Northern Europe, certainly not in Eastern Europe. Nor would the expectation be there that they smile at you incessantly and call you by your first name and treat you as if you were the king of the universe. That stuff's absurd. But it comes down, like I said, to commercialization, to the expectation everything's a product, your product too. You're selling yourself to somebody effectively if you're a waiter, because in the United States, everything's based on tips. That's an entire other can of worms. We won't get into it, but that does serve a function and it's part of this discussion as well. And ultimately, the expectation of toxic positivity is one that I think is primarily an American one, but it is slowly infecting the rest of the world, slowly but surely. Now, mind you, I don't think it will ever get to that same degree for obvious reasons. For example, the simple fact that the U.S. never went through many decades of communism is a contributing factor, right? And in other parts of the world, such as Eastern Europe, most pronouncedly, they did. And even in Western Europe, and Northern Europe specifically, the groundwork for this sort of toxic positivity cult is just not there to the same degree. Yeah, sure, some people promote it. And again, I've had firsthand experience with Europeans, young Europeans, who want to quote-unquote positively vibe. So it is a thing. But make no mistake, the overly exaggerated, pronounced expectation that you're always supposed to be doing well, and if you're not, you need to get on antidepressants, medications, go see a therapist, and quote-unquote fix your life. That is part of the American way, as it were. And that way is slowly but surely infecting through its tendrils the rest of the world. It will take a while, if ever, for it to get to that same degree and extent that we find in the United States. But it might get there eventually. But that still doesn't change the fact that we have close to 400 million people in the United States who are afflicted by this kind of mind virus, effectively. And there's no escape unless you want to go live in some log cabin or what have you. So it is interesting for a number of reasons, above all, because in contrast to so many things, this is, I think, a very strong environmental effect. And the heritability here, I would suspect, is relatively low compared to other factors influencing. So in a nutshell, the roots of toxic positivity are the roots of commercialized, sell you everything, life is a product, aka the U.S., is the best country in the world. Long live freedom and those delicious freedom fries. Anyway, as always, thank you for tuning in. Many special thanks to my very generous patrons on Patreon and my amazing donors on PayPal. You guys are the best. Without you, this channel absolutely could not exist because YouTube just crushes me with the algorithm. Unfortunately, thank you so much. And if you engage in the usual YouTube jazz of liking the video, sharing the video, becoming a sub, and leaving a comment, it'd be much appreciated. Who knows, maybe it helps. But if I'm still alive, I will check you out next time. Until then, may the gods truly watch over you. Goodbye for now. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.